Would you please join with me in prayer? Risen and living God, as your word is read and proclaimed, shine your light on us. Open our minds, even as we are trying to work through things. Open our minds to understand, our hearts to receive, and our lives to respond to you. Where we are uncertain, give us clarity. Where we are hesitant, give us courage. Where we are listening for what's next, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. As is our custom for the reading of the gospel, let me invite you to please stand as you are able to hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, at the very, very end of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. We hear in this scripture that there is a natural set of complex feelings at the end and the beginning of this next chapter. Jesus has been resurrected. He is in the process of helping his community, his disciples, his followers, to make sense of that. And even still, in the moment that occurs right at the end of our gospel, we hear that they follow him. They go to this place where he's told them to go. But they're still like, what the heck? You know, and there's doubt that is part of that. That is natural. There are people that want to give Thomas a hard time, you know, doubting Thomas. I always felt that was a really rough name for someone because of that reputation. What? You doubt me, Thomas? You know, come on. But honestly, how could this happen? It makes the resurrection of Jesus makes, you know, moments like this maybe a little bit more understandable. I'm just kind of moving. So here is Jesus gathering with his people in the midst of the stress, the disorientation, the turmoil of how does this even make sense? How does this work? And what he does not do is he does not linger in that. But he says, let us not forget, do not forget what I have for you to do. Because I have, this is Jesus speaking, I have a job for you to do. The church calls this the Great Commission. You can almost kind of like see it written out. It's repeated so often. There are many ways in which we return to this scripture over and over again. And so at this moment of what's next, what do we do? I wanted to come around today and remind you of what Jesus has given for us to do. He gave it to those disciples. He continues to give it to us as our job as well. So first of all, he says, I want you to understand something. I'm in charge, not Bert, but Jesus says, all authority is given to me, to Jesus. So listen to what I have to say to you. It is, a claiming of, I have this responsibility for you. The authority rests on me, and so I'm telling you this. I want you first to go. I want you to move, to leave, to enter into something that is new. I want you to go into all the world. Okay? I want you to go into the world, and I want you to make disciples. Now, that's a really kind of wild phrase right there, to make disciples. It's almost like you get clay, right? You get a little mud together. You get an erector set. You get some Legos, right? You slap together some 2x4s, right? To make is not exactly a great word there. It's hard because in some ways, I resist being made by somebody else. Don't tell me what to do. But what he's saying there is, I want you to follow me and help people to learn about me and become part of this following of me. So instead of like trying to make something, if I made something, it would probably be made in my own image. I would design it, and there would be design flaws involved. What we are saying, Jesus is saying, teach people how to follow me. I want you to go into the world. I want you to make disciples everywhere. Not just the places that are nearby, not just the places that are convenient, not just the places that seem like they would be nice places for followers of Jesus to show up, but into complex places, into hard and scary places, into places that may be hostile even. Go make disciples every opportunity that you have. Where your feet plant, there's an opportunity. I want you to, when you're doing that, I want you to baptize them. Now, to baptize is a particular thing. When we say that we are baptizing people, we're going to baptize some young girls here in a few weeks. When we baptize people, okay, I opened this up. I had no idea this was here. One of these micro Jesuses is there. In a... I have to talk to Heather about that. So when we baptize people, we go through that process of washing away, but also welcoming in. That this whole business of baptizing is, you know, making them part of the family. They become part of our family. We say that the Christian community is the body of Christ. It is the family of believers. It is, that phrase is hard sometimes, brothers and sisters, right? I want you to go. I want you to help people become followers of me. And I want you to welcome them into the family as complicated and as beautiful as that is. And then I also want you to understand that this job is to happen. It happens in the name of the Trinity, the way that it says in Matthew, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that complicated relationship that is God. Not just, you know, one kind of aspect, but that complicated interplay of God, the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, the Comforter, all of that, which is so beautiful, but doesn't easily fit in a box. And I want you to teach them. I want you to teach them what I told you to do. So, you know, when Jesus says, I have a new commandment for you, to love, to love your neighbors, to love your enemies, to love God with the fullness of what you have, to love your neighbors as yourself, to love yourself. And I want you to do that. And as you go and you do all these things that I have taught you to do, I've brought you into, I've invested in you and inspired in you, I want you to go and do that with me, because I am going with you, that no matter where you go, I will be there with you. People like Bert Cloud will come and go, but I am with you, says the Lord. Now, when we all get to heaven, we will all kind of sit around and talk with each other, and you're stuck with me forever, okay? But all throughout this life, all throughout your days, there is one who has redeemed you and called you and invited you to understand you don't do this alone. You don't have to face anything alone. Because where you go, I will go. And where I lead you, the Lord says, come on. What's next continues to be the work that is right here. What's next is following Jesus and making a difference. And if we do that, we've done our job. So as hard as these things are to say to you, I still say them to you in the hopeful and loving name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.